Welcome to the Teacher Toolkit Podcast, supporting teacher workload and student impact, one episode at a time.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents, and students worldwide.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm with head teacher Sean Morrison. I'm going to just pass over the mic to let Sean introduce himself to listeners.
Good afternoon, Ross. Yes, Sean Morrison. I'm the principal at Brisbane Christian College in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. We're a K-12 school. And I have the delightful opportunity to lead, guide, and direct and encourage a whole lot of great teachers and a school community of about 930 young people.
Okay, lovely. So before we came on air, we were talking about what you've been up to the last 2 or 3 months in America. Could you just give us a snapshot to listeners?
I've been very blessed that my board has released me for 3 months to do an educational sabbatical with... looking around, how do we create world-class educators? How do we go about increasing student engagement and student outcomes? And looking at learning spaces, technology and pedagogy, and how do these all work together to go about giving our children the best possible future and outcomes, and also adult learners.
Okay, fascinating. And we also talked about recruitment retention issues, and you talked about sabbaticals. Just for English listeners, I'd really like you just to just share what the Australian system offers to everyone in your country.
So several schools offer the head teacher or the principal or the headmaster in their contract an opportunity to do anywhere between 2 months to 3 months educational research, usually after 5 to 6 years in the post. That's what I've just experienced. Also, in Australia, we have a long service leave, and long service leave is an opportunity after 10 years of service or after 7 years of service in every profession. People get anywhere between 10 to 13 weeks paid leave to rejuvenate, reflect, and to get ready to invest back into that community.
Okay, I mean, that sounds so fascinating and rewarding. Can I just ask how it's funded?
So within our school, we would be budgeting every year a certain amount of income towards long service leave. Because obviously when we have a teacher who is enjoying that time away, then we need to refill that post and to go about making sure that our children are still getting excellent tuition and learning experiences. So from a private school system, every year we're budgeting a certain amount of income, and usually at the beginning of every school year we're asking the team who are looking to do their long service leave the following year, so we can make sure that we've got the funds available to release the teachers and or other positions, because my PA, all positions within our school, not just teachers, occur long service leave.
Okay, fascinating. So that's a good idea that we've talked about in England for a long time. Just fingers crossed we can actually do something in the future. So on your travels and in your experience as a principal and a teacher for, I'm assuming, 20 plus years, what would you say are the qualities of a good teacher? What do you remember as a child from maybe a good teacher you had at school?
I loved my school days. And the thing that I remember the most is those teachers that connected with me relationally and built quality friendships with me, but still with an understanding that they were the teacher. And so my experience through primary and secondary of having quality adult role models that went the extra mile, that were passionate about what they loved doing and were passionate about actually getting to know me as a young person and helping me through the journeys of life.
Okay, and you talked about the context of your school, private school. There's less focus on accreditation. I don't know if that's in the private system or in Australia in general, but could you just unpick, you talked about nurturing the learners rather than for an exam. Could you just explain a bit more to listeners?
For our school, at least, we're on a real journey of being able to identify how much we've progressed each child's learning and therefore celebrate. So that if a child's, you know, if we use grades, if a child's currently below the standard, whatever that is, that we, as a team, can actually see that we've advanced their learning, their outcomes. And so the Australian system, we get accredited every 5 years in Queensland. And the accreditation is, for us, it's been a very good experience because I've been able to have the same person accredit our school twice. So they can actually see the improvement of the school. And that's really, you know, it's definitely enabled us to be on a journey of learning and therefore look at how we can improve.
And is there anything that you'd want to see change in education, particularly in Australia? What would the one thing be?
I think as a principal, I'm very blessed that we are very empowered to bring about change. So when you ask that question, I really see it probably as a personal question of what are we able to do ourselves and what's the ceilings. So the big thing for us coming back from my sabbatical leave is really about how are we as a board and a college management team, how are we going to advance and empower and really release our team to become exceptional educators? How do we, you know, and I don't feel that I'm a victim. I feel very much that in my school I've got an amazing board that want to see us become the preferred place of learning. And so, you know, for us it's really about helping each teacher continue on their passion of advancing every child's learning, and how do we go about making that happen.
What's the one, could you tell us one thing that you're working on at the moment in your own school?
One of the things that we've been on a journey has been targeted teaching, having pre-testing and getting awareness of where each child is at in their learning, and then actually using that data to go about differentiating and working as a collaborative team to go about putting in place learning experiences to help each child on their journey of life. And therefore working along that every adult teacher, every adult in our school is also on that same journey of becoming lifelong learners. And so how do we model that to our children? And coming home, the priority focus will be going forward is how do we coach our team? How do we get key leaders into classrooms more? How do we give our teachers quality and timely feedback? How do we inspire them? How do we encourage them? How do we set each teacher the opportunity to inspire their peers to really have that environment of it, that we're creating something special? So you have both the art and the science of teaching happening. So learning and building a dynamic team that really want to see each child. We've been very blessed, Ross, that last 5 years, every graduate has passed every subject in our school. And that wasn't the case 6 years ago. And that's really come about because of the depth and the quality of relationships that our team are having with our children, holistically.
The art and science, music to my ears. What is teaching generally about? So you have about 560 students-ish?
Nine. We'll be going back, starting the school year in January. God willing, we'll be 930 children over three campuses.
Numbers of staff?
Numbers of staff, just over 100, about 115 staff.
Okay, my next question. I'm assuming workload is an issue, perhaps. I don't know. You might want to clarify for listeners. But if it is an issue, what would be your number one tip to help reduce the burden on teachers?
We're a Christian school. And as a Christian school, one of the key things for us is that our why is that we actually get to influence the next generation of young people. And one of the things that we talk a lot about is not being busy, but being full. So we talk a lot about the fact that life is meant to be full, but we are not victims. And so therefore clarifying and prioritizing what are the things that we need to do today and what things can we either efficiently do better or what things can we let go of. So I think in education it's always going to be a challenge of the balance between we can always do more. And so when you're in an environment where you can always connect with more children, you can always connect with more families, how do we it's a tension I think educators were always going to face. But for us, very much around being full is a good thing because it's being directed yourself, you're in charge. But when you get busy, I think there's a you feel like you're chasing your tail. So in our school, we're very much about trying to prioritize from that point of view.
Okay, thank you. What two books are you reading at the moment? I want to know one that's personal, one that's related to education.
Okay. God's Word is the big one for me, the Bible. And so that gives me the direction and the guidance in terms of wisdom. Our motto at our school is wisdom and knowledge through Christ. I've been just purchased your book, online, The 100 Ideas. Yeah, The 100 Ideas. Also been reading books about learning immersive learning styles, and looking at architecture and how does architecture actually change, or how can architecture of classrooms enhance learning.
Okay, thank you. I've been fascinated for years in semiotics and the architecture of school buildings and the nature of how it influences student behaviour. It's something I'd like to do in my PhD, so I'd like to talk to you about that in the future. Who would you recommend I interview next and why?
We were just talking before. I think Charles Todd. Charles Todd is the CEO of Little Architecture in Washington, D.C. I had the opportunity on my sabbatical leave to spend almost a full day with Charles, and they're doing a lot of research around how to change the shape and the learning spaces in classrooms that enhance learning outcomes. So I think he'd be a very good person to connect with and have a conversation with him about why they're doing what they're doing, and where they've got their research from.
Okay, lovely. So maybe a trip to Washington for me, or an online Skype with Charles. Thank you. Last question. Where can listeners find out more about you online or your school?
We're at www.brisbanechristiancollege.com.au, and we'd love to have any people who are doing tours around the world, if they'd like to drop in, by all means, email principal@brisbanechristiancollege.com.au.
Okay, lovely. Brisbane is a lovely city. I'd highly recommend it. I hope to come and visit you there, Sean, in the future. Thanks for your time. You're listening to Teacher Toolkit. Find out more on our website and follow on social media using the hashtag TTKit podcast. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents, and students worldwide.